Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is William Matrix Mouth Miller.
How you doing there, Blake Buck?
Dude, I'm doing good. I'm loving doing this show again. It's been a while, but I've got my shit together. You sort of got your shit. Look, this was all your fault.
Oh, it was. Now, hang on, Blake Buck. Where have you? you've undergone this great odyssey from Baltimore to Sugar Shack to wherever the hell you are now.
Look, it's been a long story. All right, but I had to move like 2 weeks ago. Me and my roommate, we had battle. It was not good. I don't want to go into the details, but I'm living somewhere much nicer now.
We don't have Justin Fick with us this week. He last week was in a battle of his own.
Oh, that's right.
Battling off a kidney stone. And this week he's at GameX, so he'll come back with a full report next week.
What is GameX?
I don't know. It's some industry like thing. I don't know. I'm just jealous because I'm not there.
If you were there, it'd be like, oh, it's the most awesome. Innovative.
Right. Yeah, that would be it.
All right, this is your gaming news for Wednesday, October 28th. This is Spook Edition 2009.
Do we need to have our obligatory discussion of Halloween games?
I think, yeah, we might have, like, we have this once a year.
Spook games. All right, well, we'll get there. All right, so, Blake Buck, I got two news articles for us this week, and they're both pretty short. I mean, we could discuss them. So, the first one I got is iPhone now has in-app purchases for free apps.
So, I saw this.
Yeah, so this might seem you know, innocent enough, but this is just asking for bait and switch software. So you download it for free, and then it doesn't do anything until you pay them.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like an app like that would ever like get very popular. I mean, it would get like, I don't know. It seems like that would sort of sift itself out naturally.
Exactly. So that's what people have been saying. Like, people are all mad because bait switch, blah blah blah. But you know, the free market economy still applies, right? If you put out a piece of software that you do something crummy with, like bait and switch, people aren't going to buy it, so there's no need to worry about it.
Yeah, I'll imagine somewhere along the line somebody's going to get screwed over, but the same way, there's a prince from Nigeria who wants to give you $1 million.
Wait, he emailed you too?
Oh, dude. That bastard.
Damn it.
I mean, what are we going to blacklist, like, emails from Nigeria? I mean, come on, that's stupid. It's the same sort of concept. Yeah, I mean, you're going to have people being shady out there. And what you going to do?
But at the same time, this opens up some pretty interesting things for games because you can have, you know, episodic content or microtransactions and stuff like that.
Dude, they got Rock Band out on iPhone now, and you can download songs in it.
That's right. Have you played it yet?
It's $10, dude. $10.
I don't understand. Like, okay, it's Rock Band. It's the same game, but all of a sudden, because it's on the iPhone, it's outrageous that it's that it's $10. Oh my God.
Like, well, another thing is, like, I already have, like, 20 of these. Like, pretty much, I've got Tap Tap, I got Guitar Rock Tour, I got, like, 20 of these games, Dance Dance, and I don't play any of them. It would just sit on my phone, and I would end up not playing it like all the other rhythm-based iPhone games I have.
Okay, that's true. That's a valid excuse for not buying it, but say it's too expensive. That doesn't make any sense to me.
No, I agree. But look, I don't even play DDR. One thing I do like is when you play in Rock Band, the notes, like, you know, like Tap Tap, people say, oh, Tap Tap's much better than, you know, these other rhythm-based games. Tap Tap, like, if you miss a note, the note still plays. To me, you lose some of the visceral connection if you don't have, like, a note to, like, audio note, you know, ratio.
Yeah, it's got to yell at you. You know, you got to get that sound that says you done bad. Right, the squonk. All right, so we'll see where that goes. I'm going to keep my suspect eye on it. And the other piece of news I have this week is Joystick. The Joystick Mole is reporting that the Unreal Engine may soon be available for consumers.
What?
Now, listen.
What does that even mean? What does that even mean?
Well, I don't know. It depends. I mean, if it's a full source license, then that could be a big deal.
Yeah, but what's to stop, if that's the case, what's to stop, like, me and my bros from, like, licensing it and putting out a game? Or, well, what I really meant to say was like me and like, let's say I'm already a game company. It's like, oh, we're just a bunch of dudes in a garage, but really we're funded by EA secretly, and we buy the cheap license.
Okay, that's illegal, first of all.
I love breaking the law.
Can you sing that one for us? So anyway, I think this could be, we'll see where this goes. It could be pretty cool, though. I think, like, the full, Unreal's great, but it's tough to work with. Like, you got to know your shit to do anything with that.
Maybe they're going like a, what's it called? You know, our good buddy we met that one time. What's his name? Yeah, he's from Sweden. They
David,
got that dumb engine.
David Helgeson?
Unity. Yeah, Unity. Yeah. Maybe they're going that kind of route and trying to make a more user-friendly, you know, something that people can actually use rather than just hardcore programmers and developers.
It could be. That could be. I mean, they might have a different SKU that, like, all the developers that are working with it now haven't seen yet that they're going to put out for consumers. I have no idea. But if they just put out what they got now, you know, you're either going to see lots of, you know, shooter clone games, because to make anything else is pretty difficult. You know what I mean?
Well, but, look, I know what this is really going to be. It's going to be Unreal Engine : the game. You go around... It's going to be like Roller Coaster Tycoon. You got to get in enough bad guys.
Now, speaking, you mentioned Unity, Blake Buck. I'm glad you did, because Unity, since we met David Helgeson at Macworld, God only knows how long ago, but that was back when we were Inside Mac Games podcast, Unity has actually really taken off. They have created a really sophisticated piece of software. It deploys for iPhone now. It deploys for Wii. I wouldn't be surprised if it's going to be ready for PS3 and Xbox pretty soon. And the tool set is extremely nice and easy to use, and I love it.
I remember trying to use it one time. I didn't know what was going on.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, Blake.
Dude, all them, you know, planes and grids. I ain't doing that.
Anything that doesn't have a cheeseburger on it. In fact, they had to put a cheese. Your Ableton skin kind of looks like a cheeseburger. That's the only reason.
Dude,
you're able
to use
it.
I did download one that is like bright yellow and red.
Oh, did you see the Japanese? The Japanese launch or the Japanese promotion for the Windows 7 launch at McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was like a seven patty burger you eat.
Seven meats. It's like the Octomac, except seven. I don't know what.
It's not quite as good. No, because it's for Windows 7.
It is.
Oh, dude, why don't we have Japanese like marketers over here in the U.S.? I think that sort of promotion would go over amazing. Then again, I'm also real dumb and like dumb shit, so maybe not. Well, I would love to see like Bill Gates like eating seven cheeseburgers on national television. I would switch back to be a Windows user at that point.
Yeah, I haven't gotten the new Windows 7 yet, but I think the best description I've heard of it is I don't know, maybe it's from Ars Technica or one of those tech blogs. The guy was like, it's still a Vista Martini. It may have two olives in it now, but it's still got same cheap Microsoft vodka.
Ooh, I like that. All right, so this next news we got, this is actually supposed to be fixed news, and he's not here. But you read this, right? I didn't even read this. What does it say?
Okay, so Bethesda and Interplay are like, oh, we had a segment for this. It's like the games and the law. Yeah, breaking the law.
Oh, yeah. Right. play some breaking the law here.
Right, so this week on Breaking the Law, we have Bethesda and Interplay battling it out in the courts. So apparently what happened was, wait a minute, let me get it straight, because this is so convoluted. Bethesda bought the license for Fallout from Interplay after having licensed it for 3 years. Okay.
And then they bought the whole thing?
They bought the whole thing, the whole license.
Okay.
And then they licensed the IP back to Interplay.
To do what with? Interplay doesn't know. What was the last goddamn game Interplay put out? They don't even put out games anymore.
Well, they were going to make some big MMO or something.
Oh, hey, let's take our IP and run it into the ground. Awesome. MMO, let's do it.
There we go. So anyway, Fallout MMO was licensed to Interplay, but then Bethesda, not happy with how Interplay was doing on their MMO, yanked the rights away from them. And so they've been, like, suing each other for the last little while here.
Oh, that's my Fallout. Oh, that's my Fallout. Don't be touching it.
Right. That's the extent of it. So, you know, I don't really care how this ends out. I'm kind of done with Fallout now. So,
dude, I'm telling you, like, Fallout, I don't know, Fallout 3 sort of lost the magic and charm of the old Interplay games, I think. It lost the humor, or at least some of the humor. But I know once it turns into an MMO, it's going to be dead to me.
And the Interplay did some kind of sneaky stuff with their IP rights. They released this package called Fallout Trilogy.
They released
three of the old Fallout, like I guess Fallout 1, 2, and then an expansion or something.
Yeah, Tactics, Fallout Tactics.
Tactics, right, Tactics. And that sort of hinted that it included Fallout 3 because it was called Trilogy. So they got mad about that, and there are all kinds of things. Like, they licensed the old Fallout games to good old games
dude,
and GameTap and all that.
How much does that suck? Like, you're little Timmy. Hey, little Timmy, for Christmas, we got you the entire Fallout trilogy. Oh, yay, thanks, Mom. It'll only run on 1998 computers. Oh.
Well, how does he sound again?
Oh.
It's not a pretty sight between those two. I'm pretty sure Bethesda is going to win out on this one. That's where I'm going to hedge my bets.
That's because they made the better game.
They made the game that was good. I don't know, though. Fallout, the originals were awesome, but the new one, Fallout 3, sold like gangbusters. So,
right.
Anyway.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I've talked about this before when games, I watch other people play games, and then when I actually play them, they're not really fun anymore. I know you don't ever play games, so you wouldn't know about this, William.
Now,
Miller.
Hang on. Now, William Miller has been playing some games recently. Okay, he got. Now, I'm going to review this game a little bit down the line here, but William Miller got Batman: Arkham Asylum the other day, and it has reignited his passion for video games.
Really?
I sat down and played that game. Forget this, an hour. Which is like longer than I've played a game in probably 10 years, okay? That game sucked me in, and it's awesome. And so I went out and I got Brutal Legend, and I played that with Nikki, and we're having a good time. And then I got Uncharted 2, which right now is playing a little bit like Crash Bandicoot. But the jury's, I'm gonna do a judgment on that one at some point. Jury's still out on, it's on notice. Uncharted is on notice.
I got my eye on you, Uncharted.
Yeah, but we got like, I've been playing, I played through Shadow, no, wait a minute, I didn't play through Shadow Complex. So what happened was, I got Shadow Complex and I'm loving it. I'm like, man, this is like Metroid, so much fun. But you know, William Miller sucks at games, so he didn't get very far. And
you
so
got to
Aaron,
that spider boss and you died. I'm done.
And so Aaron comes over and Aaron's beating Shadow Complex and Aaron comes over. He sits down at my tape and he like plays through half the fucking game. So now I got to start over because I was drunk when he did it. And, you know, I it's not like I experienced it or I played it myself. So,
right. Well, yeah, no, but that's what happens to me. If like I get a new game, right? My roommates are like, oh, I'm going to play this game. And then they play the game and I watch them play the game because I'm eating Taco Bell or whatever. And then, oh, no, I've watched you play this game for like 3 hours now. And when I play it, I don't even want to anymore.
So anyway, William Miller is slowly climbing back up the ladder of game playing. I mean, it's going to be a slow process. I have to rehabilitate after, I don't know, reading books for so long. But I was enjoying myself.
I moved into this new house, right? And all my roommates, like, I brought some games over with my Xbox, right? I had like 5 games. I'm like, man, Blake, you got a lot of Xbox games. Yeah.
Oh, if they only knew.
Yeah, this is all of them. This is all 10 of them. Meanwhile, there's like 30 or 50 in the storage room. Oh, don't go in there. Dude, whatever, dude. I love my new house. They just play all my games and get all my achievements for me. It's awesome. Like, somebody sent me an email. It was like, Blake Buck, you need to start making a show and stop playing so many video games. It ain't me. I'll play them video games.
you outsourced.
Yeah. I've got like a Chinese achievement farm downstairs.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll get to that judgment a little bit later. I got a lot to say about that game. Yeah, also about Brutal Legend, which Blake is going to review.
All right. Unedited Left 4 Dead 2 banned in Australia. So, you know, Australia is always, they always complain about these games and the blood. So, Valve's hyperviolent FPS has been refused classification by the appeal board, and a modified version is due out for 360 on November 17th. So I guess it's gotten delayed. So they said it contains a level of violence which is high in impact, prolonged, repeatedly frequent, realistic within the context of the game. The review board took the exception to the insufficient delineation between the depiction of general zombie figures and human figures as opposed to clearly infected characters, saying that this point was central in the appraisal of how the game would be viewed by minors.
Wait. So they have a problem with, like, who's a zombie and who isn't a zombie?
They say, I guess they're trying to make the point that, like, the zombies look too close to people, and they don't want you to be killing them people.
Look, there was a protest.
So, you know what I would do if I was these guys? I'd just make them green. I'd turn up the green on all the skin. Done. Well,
isn't that what they do in Germany? They just make the blood green, and then it ships?
Yeah.
Or like, I think that's what they used. Yeah, well, like Wolfenstein.
That new Wolfenstein. Anytime there's a swastika, it's like a bird or something instead.
Right. There was a protest in Germany not too long ago. These like anti-game advocates tried to organize where you take your violent video game and you throw it in a dumpster. Okay, and somebody posted a picture of this, and there were like two tapes in the dumpster. Nobody showed up. It was really funny.
Left 4 Dead 2 is also, I had another kind of follow up on it. I don't think we talked about this back in the day, but I love it. I love it. So Left 4 Dead 2, you know, people are complaining about this game, right? Because they're saying, oh, it only came out a year after Left 4 Dead 1. Why didn't you release it as DLC? Instead, you're charging $50 for a whole new game when it's only a handful of new maps and with only marginal changes. And so all the community got together online. And you know how bitches be talking on the internet, man? I think Aristotle said that. Bitches be talking. Anyway, and they're like, well, we're gonna get a 10 million point petition, and you are not gonna release this game. So, Gabe Newell, who is the truck that runs Valve Software, he said, "All right, send me your leader of this." So he sent him an email, and he was like, "Well, here's our points, and blah 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 blah." He's like, "Look, all right, look, we have bought you a plane ticket to come play this game." So, dude flies up there, and like I think there were two or three of them that went up there, and they played the game, right? Then they go back to the forums, and like, yeah, y'all dumb. This game great, and we're going to buy it. So, of course, you would think it's all fine and dandy, right? Surely the bitches have been dissuaded. Nope. Now they got more people saying, oh, I didn't get no ticket. Why didn't you give me a ticket? This game sucked. Yeah, their players boycotting, and then like Gabe Newell was like, well, I'm boycotting your boycott. And then the other dudes were like, we're boycotting your boycott of the boy. It's dumb. So, look, I cannot wait for Left 4 Dead 2. Yeah. If that game was $1,000, I would buy it. Dude, I don't understand what is wrong with people.
Like, it's a game. It costs the same amount of money to make the sequel than it did to make the original. So why not charge the same amount for it?
Like, yeah, and like, okay, Mario came out, right? And then Mario 2 came out. People years ago weren't like, oh, well, this isn't different enough for Mario 1. I'm a write it. Can you imagine like on like AOL dial-up, you're getting with your chat friends in 1994?
And that's exactly what they type. I'm a gonna.
I'm a gonna get you.
Oh, internet petitions are dumb. Oh, my God. All right, Blake Buck, this week in releases, we got Forza Motorsport 3.
GameSpot's already reviewed this game. It doesn't come out until later this week. They gave it a 9.5 on GameSpot. Now, I got some beef with this, all right? Why is it that Madden and racing series, no matter how derivative they are, always get high scores on game websites, whereas other games like, for instance, Dance Dance Revolution, right? Every time they re-release Dance Dance Revolution, it gets slammed by the reviews for not being original enough. It's like, oh, I done already played this game. Meanwhile, Forza, ooh, they added in-car camera view, 9.5. Ooh, you could throw the football further this year, 10. I mean, come on.
I totally agree with you. I think that it's all, you know, innovation is good, yes, but if you make a good game that doesn't necessarily innovate, I mean,
like, to judge, for instance, Forza Motorsport 3, is it that much better than Forza Motorsport 2? Probably not. Brutal Legend, on the other hand, gets real harshly reviewed, you know, because it's a new IP, it's a new sort of like kind of game, it's a different style of gameplay. You know, it's getting, you know, decent scores, but Forza will come out and get a perfect scores, even though, oh, we added new camera. Oh, it gets nines on all the websites. Come on. What is this?
Dumb.
All right, also coming out, Saw. What? I don't even know what it's coming out on. Saw video game.
Now, what do you do in this game?
Dude, you saw a dun.
Well, okay. You think about it seriously for a second. Is it, what is it? Is it a platformer? Is it a, what Saw consists of is man's sitting in crazy contraptions getting killed.
Well, I'm looking at some screenshots now. It looks like you're one of the dudes in the contraptions. You gotta figure out how to escape.
So it's a puzzle game.
Yeah, it's maybe. Yeah, it sort of looks like a puzzle kind of.
You know, if I were to make Saw, I would make Brick Stack Saw.
What? You gotta figure out the Tetris puzzle, or your head gets blown off.
Yeah, you got your bricks on the left, and your man on the right in the contraption getting ready to get killed. And the better you do at Brick Stack, the closer he is to getting out, right?
I love it. So it's on PC coming out this week. Oh, what are the odds? Coming out on Halloween. Let's make Saw. Genius.
Borderlands. What are they up to now? Saw 6? Saw 7 coming out?
Saw is so simple. They just make the same movie over and over again. It costs like $30 to make these movies. And as long as 4 people go to see it, it makes money. And you know, somebody every year is like, ooh, I can't wait for that new Saw. Ooh.
That's me, actually.
Borderlands is coming out on PC. Came out on Xbox and PS3 last week. It's been getting pretty decent reviews, especially for a game from a kind of B-list developer and a new IP. But it's like supposedly Diablo with guns.
I hear it's a bit of a grind fest, but pretty fun if you like roguelikes.
Grind fest can
stuff.
Be fun.
Yeah.
And it's got like 4-player online, which I love.
Ooh. Wait, Blake Bug, what is this next game here? Am I reading this correctly?
Wait a minute.
Okay. Painkiller Resurrection on 360. Blake Bug, why don't you set the stage?
Well, the picture. 2004. Gamers, annoyed with all of the story and plot elements in video games, strive for simpler times. A little-known company by the name of People Can Fly releases a game that features only blood, guts, and guns. It's known as Painkiller, and it is one of the most amazing games to come out.
What is the plot of Painkiller?
Dude, Painkiller is great. All right, you're driving down. All the plot is in this one cut scene at the very beginning. You're driving down the road, and you're like, oh, wife, I love you. Let's make babies. Oh, shit, car crash, dead. All right. Then you're in, I don't know if you're in heaven or you're in one of them. And they're like, look, you done messed up. Now you got to go kill demons, work off your debt. And that's the whole game. You kill demons. Done. That's it. There's very little plot. You just shoot demons. They give you lots of guns. In fact, the game is just a series of rooms. Like, you'll go into a room, all the doors lock, time for fight. You can't leave until you've fought all.
Okay, so the plot summary here is: trapped in a hostile place between heaven and hell, his soul flickers between the millions of faceless infidels, and good and evil forces start to use Wild Bill for their own needs. I guess that's your name, Wild Bill. But it turns out that nothing is as it seems at the beginning. Solve the mystery. Solve the mystery, and give equilibrium heaven and hell.
Now, first of all, this is not the original. Okay, so they made the game, right? They made Painkiller, and then the team that made Painkiller, they like scuttled or whatever. But there were all these fans on the internet that loved the game so much, they started making their own levels. Then they're like, well, shit, let's just make a company and we'll sell this. So they got in touch with the old Painkiller dudes, and they're like, look, we're gonna just gonna release a game and call it Painkiller. And they're like, yeah, whatever, fine. So it's a new developer that's just like, which is not really as good because these kind of new games have kind of blown by comparison. But yeah, thumbs up. I love it. Shooting. It says 360 on this article. I hope this comes out on 360. I don't know if that's a typo or not.
All right, we also got Tekken 6 coming out for PS Triple and 360. It's Tekken, the next one.
It be the next one.
We also got Ratchet & Clank Future, A Crack in Time, new game from Insomniac coming out for a PS3 exclusive. Now, I love Ratchet & Clank. Those games are fun. So,
oh, yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah, I love it, too.
Dude, those games are awesome.
All right, next up we got Grand Theft Auto, The Ballad of Gay Tony. I don't know. I've watched the trailers for this game. All I know is you get Parachute. That was the end of one of the trailers. And done. I love it now. Parachute.
That was good.
But it's coming out. It's kind of coming out in stores as like a two pack with the other. What was it? The biker one. I don't even remember what it was called.
Lost in the Damned.
Lost in the Damned. So it's coming out in stores and on XBLA. All right, next game up on the list, DJ Hero. Uh-oh. I was in GameStop the other day, and, you know, I know me and the dude that run GameStop here in Oxford, we're drinking buddies, right? So he's like, hey, Blake Buck, come check this shit out. So he takes me into the back, and he opens this, like, giant DJ Hero box, and it's got this... It's like the collector's edition or whatever, but it's got like its own coffin that it comes in, and it's like, oh, dude, it was pimp looking. I loved it.
Did you see the new trailer that for DJ Hero? It's like urban, you know, urban landscape in the future.
Oh, really? I haven't seen that.
And like, it's just destroyed by like music. That's the only way I can think to explain it. It's just like the city crumbles under like the DJ's might. It was pretty awesome. It got me wanting to play it.
Yeah. No, I want to play it too. Because, you know, I'm a DJ. I want to see what this game's all about. Oh, dude. Hey, where did you go? Hey, Wayne Miller, where did you go to high school before MSMS?
Well, I went to the Oxford High School.
Friday night. Oxford High School homecoming. Who's the DJ? Blake Buck.
Oh, God. The circle is complete.
All right, so I'm at this thing, right? And, out of here, Caesar. I'm at this thing, right? And I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be...
Wait a minute. Get out of here, Caesar. Let's rewind here a minute. Who is that?
Caesar's a dog.
Oh, okay. All right.
Anyway, so... No, it's Prince Caesar. Anyway, what the fuck was I saying? Oxford High School. All right. So I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to show up. I'm going to play some jams. I'll play whatever I want, you know, because they're not a real picky crowd. They're young. They don't really know much about music. They'll all kind of stand on the edge of the room and be awkward, and maybe some people dance, and that'll be about it. That's what my sort of memory of homecoming was like. Oh, wait. Did we have a homecoming?
No.
What did we have?
We had winter formal.
Oh, that's right. And I was, what was I? I was the king.
You were king.
I was king of winter. That's right, bitches. Holla. Anyway, point being, so I remembered it being kind of an awkward affair, right? So I went in thinking that, cut to about 2 hours in. Okay, imagine a sea of like 300 people like erotically grinding on each other. I have never seen such a thing. First of all they wanted to hear was hip-hop music. I'll play something besides hip-hop, and they would go, put on Lil Wayne. Put on Lil Wayne. So it was just like 3 hours of hip-hop. They were all grind. I mean, there was nobody. You know, I was talking about like everybody stands on the edge of the room. There was none of that. It was a big sea of like 300 people. Just, I never seen nothing like it.
Well, now, listeners, Blake Buck and I went to math and science high school, okay? Blake did not get to experience what a real like public high school dance is like, and that's what it's like.
Yeah, I guess not, but yeah, it was amazing. And what's the time for now? It's time for Judgment. All right, son, this week on Judgment, I got a game for you.
All right,
it's called Prince of Persia. It came out maybe a year and a half ago on Xbox 360 and PS3. So this is the new game in the Prince of Persia series. It's not connected with the old ones in any way. Sort of a new imagining of the Prince of Persia universe. It's got sort of the same kind of gameplay with a lot of acrobatics, some combat here and there. And now it has Girl, who follows you around the whole game and yells at you. So what I liked about it, it's got an awesome visual style. The graphics aren't great, but the style is really good. You know, like Sly Cooper, the graphics aren't amazing, but how they're done, like just the art style is amazing.
Yeah,
like the menus are all really nice. The like it's got like a half sort of cell shaded look, and it uses like color. Like when you go into areas, they're sort of black and white and dark, and then when you beat them, they get colorful. So it's got an interesting style. The game is welcoming to new players, and I'm gonna talk more about this in a second. So you know, if you're sort of new to Prince of Persia, it'll ease you into it. The visual design is great. For the levels as well, like they're all pretty well imagined, and overall it's the same classic gameplay that I love from the Sands of Time era Prince of Persia's. All right, what sucks about it, the prince. All right, so the whole time you got this girl running around with you, right? And I don't like games that feature a love element pretty much throughout the whole thing, and that's what this is. And they make little snarky jokes at one another. I don't need that, all right? I don't need your jokes. Second of all, girls got magic powers, right? What are the odds? A girl with magic powers in a video game? And anytime you, like, fall off a cliff, she uses her little magic spell and pulls you up, you know, from the cliff. As in, a.k.a. you cannot die in this game. What the fuck?
Now, I guess we could talk about this a little bit when I get to the Batman review, but in Batman, you sort of have the same thing. When you fall off a cliff in Batman, you can press the... It tells you to press B button real quick, and then you'll like, grapple back onto
the ledge. Yeah, well, this is not just...
Ledge.
Even when you're fighting enemies, like, you say an enemy's about to kill you, she goes like, oh, magic dust, psh, oh, you're saved, Prince. I mean, what is this? You remember when we used to play Mario tapes, and you would just die over and over and over again? And that was the norm. You know, oh, I'm dead. Now I got to start again. This game, like, you're trying to make it through a series of jumps, and then when you land on the new, it's like it saves every time you don't die. It's like auto checkpoints everywhere. So, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that sounds dumb.
Also, at the end, I'm not going to spoil what happens in the end of the story, but the ending really blows. I mean, okay, it ends a certain way, and not like it's good or bad or whatever, but it's not even really explained what happens. Like, this thing happens in the end, and it's not really even clear what really happened. It's like, the end. So then you go on the Xbox Live Marketplace. Oh, you want to buy the additional chapter to see what really happens? Only 560 Microsoft points. Fuck you, Ubisoft. Fuck you, Microsoft. they took the end of this game and then they charged $5 for it. Bullshit.
You know what's ironic about how easy this game is to play is how hard the original one was. Do you remember playing the original game?
Oh, yeah.
Like the black and white one?
Yeah, the black and white one was really hard. Ugh. Even the one on Xbox back in the day, it was still pretty tough. You know, you would die and you'd have to start over and you'd have to, you know, do the checkpoints and stuff. I mean, look. My roommate sucks at video games, and even she beat it.
Now, in the Prince of Persia, in the original Prince of Persia, once you got to a certain point in the game, which is very early on, the game starts a countdown timer, and you only have like 2 hours or three hours to beat
the whole
game.
It's from the beginning.
Yeah,
the counters.
Right. Well, you have to get through at least
to get
part
the
of the
really
level,
good
and
ending.
Then,
there's two endings. There's like the bad ending when you lose, the good ending when you win, and then there's like the really good ending if you can beat it in the time.
Yeah. But still, like, that game was just extremely hard.
And it's on XBLA, the original. They, like, redid it with HD graphics. If you hadn't played that, I think it's, like, maybe $5 or $10. It is definitely worth a download. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, what is it with these games being easy?
I don't know.
Or, like, what was the other game? You know, all these games are easy now. I don't like that. Or maybe I do. I don't have time to play these games and get good at them.
You know, and coming back to the love story thing for a minute, I think love in video games is one of those things that games just don't do well. Like,
yeah, right.
Maybe love between the player and a character. Like, you could think of that in, like, Ico, for example, when you have a certain amount of like compassion for this character or the, you know, the princess that you're following along, or the, you know, your horse in Shadow of the Colossus or whatever. Like, that's the kind of love that can be created in games well. But the kind of love between, like, two characters in a game, because there's that uncanny valley thing and it always looks hokey and dumb, like, it just, we don't do that well and we shouldn't try.
I think it can be. Like, for instance, Half-Life 2. I mean, there's sort of an implied love story between Freeman and, what's her name, Alex? You played Half-Life 2, right?
No.
Dude, that's like the greatest first-person shooter of all time. Well, there... What am... Alright. For some reason, I thought I wasn't recording just now, and I had an oh-shit moment. I am, though. Okay. But, like, you know... I don't know. It's done, like, the dialogue in Half-Life 2 is done, it's kind of clever and witty, and it's done well. When it's done in Prince of Persia, it's like, oh, I'm the prince, and I know I'm from ancient Egypt or wherever the fuck I'm from, but I'm going to talk like I'm from 2009. What's up, babe? You want to go on my beach board and surf and shit? I don't like how the dialogue's handled. They've got this kind of smart alecky, I guess they're trying to be flirtatious with each other, but it comes off really... What's a word that's the opposite of authentic? I don't know, whatever that is.
Contrived?
Contrived, thank you.
Yeah, but anyway, I don't think that that's one of the things that games do well. Like literature and film, yes, you can create empathy and like create these, you know, that's fine. But in games, it's like, you know, don't try to do that because it doesn't look good. And
I think somebody will get it right, and it is done right in some games.
Well, like I said, it's like you can create these emotions very well, but they're different from film and books, and you have to treat them differently. You can't just try to emulate a movie, you know.
And,
it doesn't work.
Shadow of the Colossus is another good example. You know, like there's this girl that you're trying to save, you know, who's died, and you feel some sympathy there. But there's no dialogue between the two characters. The main character is sort of transparent, you know. He doesn't really have a personality because it's like, oh, I'm going to assert that that's me, you know.
Right. They did the same thing in like Chrono Trigger, for example. Chrono never talks, but there's this sort of subtle love thing that happens between the two female leads in that game. But you sort of project that. They never
not
heavy handed.
It's in the player's mind. It's not, oh, hey, Prince. you sure got nice lips.
Wait a minute. Was that the chick you were emulating here?
I don't know. Hey,
Prince. I don't know what Prince of Persia you played, but sign me up.
That's actually like Prince, like Darkness Charlie Murphy Prince. Purple Rain Prince of Persia.
Okay, I know what I'm working on next.
And then we had Waffles. You and me versus the revolution.
Oh, dude, that's my next game, Blake Buck.
Why has nobody made that before?
No, I'm all over that. Purple Rain, the Prince of Persia.
Yeah, the artist formerly known as the Prince of Persia.
Oh,
there
my
you go.
God. Oh, my God.
The main point, you know, it's easy and it's got some quibbles, but it's like $20. I got it for like, I think it might even be $15 now. So if you don't have this game, you should definitely pick it up. It's a lot of fun. Brutal Legend came out, what, 2 weeks last week for Xbox 360 and PS3? This is Tim Schafer's new game. It stars Jack Black. It blends kind of action, driving, and role-playing elements. I've actually not played it a whole lot, but I've played it enough that I feel I can give you a sort of early judgment.
Where are you at in the game?
I've been doing side missions mostly, but main mission I beat, you know, where you get the strings to save the girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just finished that mission.
Okay.
With Spider.
Yeah, Spider.
All right, so things I like about this game, the graphics are decent, but just like Prince of Persia, the design is amazing. This world you live in, the heavy metal world, you know, there's so many things. Like, there's just like speakers and amps all over the place for no reason. For those of you who don't know anything about this game, you are a roadie that gets sent back in time to a world of heavy metal, and you have to save it from the forces of demons. Yeah. And so it's got all these jokes, you know, I'll get to that in a minute. The music is amazing in the game. You drive around, you get your heavy metal, and I like it. When you want to change tracks in the game, you press like right on the D-pad and it makes like a tape change in noise. the main point I got for this game, it's really goddamn funny. So it's so hard to do humor in games. And it's one of the things that Tim Schafer's games have always been great at. It's really funny. If you're into like Metalocalypse or even any kind of heavy metal, it is so funny. And Jack Black's performance is I love Jack Black. Some people hate him. Whatever. I think his performance in this game is outstanding.
Yeah, because it's in this game, it's not Jack Black the character on a you know show. It's Jack Black like the dude being sucked into metal land. And it's pretty funny. And I think there's a new kind of comedy that Tim Schafer has perfected, and that is the video game visual sight gag.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many of these funny sight, like there's a scene in the very beginning of the game where you just meet the girl and the girl's like, oh, well, you're pretty good with that axe. And he's like talking, he's like, blah, blah, blah. Oh, hang on. And he just like sort of, his axe just kind of translates out to the side and just kills a dude. And it translates back. It's like...
Or like the other day, I was over at this girl's house, and they had, look, everybody I know is playing this game, and they were playing it, and I never even seen this before, but they were like wild boars on motorcycles driving around.
Yeah, right.
Just in the overworld. I never even seen that when I was playing.
I love it when you first get your car. It's like you cannot avoid like ramming into the wildlife that's everywhere.
Yeah. Or what is it like? Oh, you know that cutscene where you meet Lars and he's up on top of that giant dagger? And, like, the beams of light come in? Okay, we're waxing poetic on this game. Let me mention the cons. A lot of people have complained about how gameplay elements feel disjointed. It's like, now I'm driving, now I'm fighting, now I'm RTSing. And I can sort of see where that's coming from. To me, it's not been a problem so far. Then again, I haven't beaten through the whole thing. But, I mean, I understand you're kind of going into different modes, but it's still fun. There are some bugs. I've had some problems with driving. It's kind of buggy, like when you get on walls and stuff.
Yeah, the physics of the car can kind of freak out.
And the side missions get pretty derivative pretty quickly. But, this game is so funny. You cannot fault this game that much.
And people that get on the gameplay, like, here's what I love about this review, the people that review this game. Tim Schafer came out with another game called Sacrifice, okay, back in the day, and for PC.
Tim Schafer did not work on Sacrifice.
Yeah, he did.
Tim Schafer did not work on Sacrifice. I'm almost positive.
All right. Well, there is a very similar game called Sacrifice that came out where you're a man and you do like RTS kinds of things, but you run around. Maybe it's like the Earthworm Jim guy. Somebody came out with that game. Anyway,
I think LucasArts might have published it, but I'm pretty sure he wasn't involved.
All right. Well, I'll get back to you on that. But that game was like critically acclaimed. It didn't do well in stores, but everybody seemed to love the gameplay when that thing came out. Like,
yeah, now that it's kind of mimicked in this game, it blows now. It's like, come on. So I admire what it does. I agree that there's some parts that could be improved, but overall, this game is so goddamn funny. You can play it every time I play this game with like a group of people. Everybody is laughing.
It's great.
It's a perfect game to play at a party.
Nikki and I are playing through it right now, and she doesn't play games ever, and she loves this game. She's she's playing through it like she loves driving the car around, but she doesn't want to hit the animals. So it takes forever for us to get from like one quest to another because she wants to like drive around all the animals.
Dude, you and me, we go for the animals. We love it.
But you can't hit them real big ones yet.
Oh, yeah, right. All right, so the main thing I have for this game is most people probably don't know this. I discovered this last night because we were drinking and we just left it on, right? If you're at the title screen of that game and you just leave it on, you know, because the title screen's like that album, you know, which that intro was so funny where Jack Black goes into the record store and finds the copy of Brutal Legend in the record store. Anyway, if you leave it at the title screen, like these sort of hands come into the screen. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I haven't seen this.
The hands will come into the screen and sort of start like pointing and like you just gotta see it. It's so funny. Like next time you're playing, just leave it on the title screen for a minute.
All right, I'll do that.
So thumbs up. I love Brutal Legend. I may be mad at it by the end, but at the moment I'm having a blast.
All right. So I was talking about this earlier. Batman Arkham Asylum has got my nose out of books and my eyes back into video games again. And I don't know if I like that or not, but we'll see. I picked up Arkham Asylum for PS3, and I popped it in my tape player, and my face was subsequently melted straight off my face.
Before you start, let me go on. I've always had a big suspect eye on this game. All right, I look at it, and I'm like, I played this game before. It looks dumb. It kind of reminds me of, you know, Butcher Bay. I don't like it. Sell me on this.
Okay. Well, the first thing that you'll notice when you start playing this game is that it looks absolutely phenomenal. It's an Unreal 3 powered game. Easily the best looking game I've seen ever. I mean, this game looks great. And granted, look, listen, no, look, I make games all the time.
This game looks phenomenal. It's better than Gears 2.
I would say it is better than Gears 2.
No.
Gears 2 ran on the like beta build of Unreal 3. This thing is like full, you know, 60 frames a second, really looking good. Anyway, it looks great. It's an extremely linear narrative. Okay, so it's not like your open world game.
Right, but that can be fun. Call of Duty.
I'm getting there. It's extremely narrative, but in any given place, you're like, okay, how can I be Batman the best? It's like you've got some mans down there to kill, and you could just go up and kill them. But you know, I'm Batman. right?
So I'm going to be best Batman.
I'm going to be best Batman. Right. So there's this like non-linear kind of gameplay that it's like, you know, yeah, you're going from point A to point B and there's a map that shows you where to go and all that stuff. And there are some side quests and things, but the like minute to minute gameplay is very cool because you're trying to figure out like, oh, okay, I'm going to get on this gargoyle and I'm going to swoop down and I'm going to get him from his head and his buddies ain't going to know where he is. Oh, it's great. So anyway, graphics, great. The story, I think it follows pretty close to the Arkham Asylum, the comic book or the Lost Halloween or one of those. I'm not real sure. I don't remember. But the story's pretty good. You know, it's got all of the bad guys you want to see. You know, Bane, Joker, Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy, all of them.
You know who my favorite one was from the animated show, which, by the way, is the Ultimate Batman, BT Dubs.
Yeah.
The Clay Dude. Does it have Clay Dude?
I've only played probably 40% of this game, and I hadn't got to Clayman yet, but he might be in there.
I don't even remember his name. Clayface?
It was Clayface.
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, speaking of the show, right, all of the voice actors in the game are from the show.
I have heard that, and that is awesome.
Oh, it is so, so cool. But anyway, it's the gameplay is kind of it's like third person game. You're Batman and you can like fly and you can, you know, do all the shit that Batman can do. And that's awesome. And one of the other things that makes this game great is that there are no load times. Like the load times are really well hidden. So you don't experience any like you're not waiting. You're always Batman doing cool things all the time. So I've really, really enjoyed playing this one. And it's like you said, Blake, the linearity of this game does not bother me. It is very, very tightly controlled and articulated. It is a little short, and that's one of the cons I have here. So if you're used to like real long game, it is kind of short most game standards. But
that's kind of an interesting point that you would say it's kind of short, because all three of these games that we've talked about today are actually kind of on the short side. Are games getting shorter nowadays?
I think these kinds of games are getting shorter. Games that are a linear narrative, because if you make a shorter game, you can refine the content a little bit more. And that's exactly what Batman did. Like, there was a temptation, you know, to have Batman, you know, run all over, you know, open world or whatever, Spider-Man-esque. But that would have made the game suck balls. I mean, it would have been... there are no side quests, right? Like, in Brutal Legend, there's no derivative side quests. It's just, like, the story you go through.
Right.
And that is fun. It's like, almost on rails. But
I always like to equate this to Metal Gear Solid. You play Metal Gear Solid, it's 6 hours. You know, people regard it as one of the greatest games of all time. It's only 6 hours for most players.
Right, and you do go, like, you do backtrack, and you get different tools, and it's like there's this tool-based progression. You can upgrade Batman's stuff and all this stuff. So there is some, like, you know, it kind of Metroid going back and finding secrets kind of gameplay, but...
I got another con for it. The collector's edition, dumb.
Oh, box.
The Batarang. It comes with a Batarang in it. How stupid! I am so done with these collector's edition. I don't think I bought one. I think the last one I got was like Halo 3. I'm never buying one of these stupid ass collector's editions ever again.
It's pretty dumb. Some other of the cons. It is a third person game, and you are Batman. So Batman occludes like a third of the screen. And that can be a little disorienting. It's probably impossible to play the game on a television that's not widescreen, because you won't be able to see anything. So a lot of times, like, you'll be flying through the air or whatever, and you can't like really see where you're going. But that, you get used to it after a little while. Like, because he's on the left side of the screen, when you're moving forward, you tend to like drift to the right because you're kind of compensating. There's no like targeting reticle in the center for you to know like where your cursor is and stuff. So it takes a little getting used to, but the combat is awesome. And you're Batman, right? You don't kill people in Batman, but goddamn if he doesn't kill every single person in Arkham in this game. Like, okay, I go in my sneaker scope and it says he's unconscious. Bullshit. I just broke his face off, okay?
Face broke.
But like the sound design, and like whenever you kill like the last guy in the group, it's kind of Brutal Legend does the same thing. You like, you know, you get action cam and it slows down and it's real satisfying. Oh man, it's so good.
Oh yeah, it zooms in. It zooms in on your fist punching in face.
Yeah, fist in face or whatever. and the thing about these games, and like Uncharted 2 is the same way. These games are all about edge detection. If your edge detection sucks, the game is going to suck. And that's part of the reason that Uncharted 2 is not working out so well for me, is that edge detection in that game is so bad. Like, you'll jump off a cliff, and there'll be a, you know, a rope or something you need to grab onto, and the edge detection misses, so your dude just like moves over in midair to grab on. You know, it's like it compensates.
Yeah, right.
And that, and you don't see any of that in Batman. Like all the jumps, all the grappling, all the like climbing and stuff, it looks great. It always works the way you think it should. It's just awesome. Thumbs way up on Batman. Go get it.
I'm gonna have to check that tape out then.
Dude, check it all out. Right. It's awesome. What?
Okay, I have an extra judgment that I forgot about because I haven't mentioned it. It's going to be real short, though. Beatles Rock Band. Have I talked to you about this? Dude, thumbs down. Next. Done. Are you kidding me? What a crap game. I can't believe I was like all excited for it when it came out. A, it's only got... All right, you're playing the game, and you're like, oh, this is cool. All right, and then about like 20 minutes later, you're like, so I'm still playing the Beatles, hey? All right. 30 minutes later... All right, still on the Beatles, right? Okay. And then you get to, I took that game, I didn't even beat it. I'm done with it. I wish I'd never bought it. I mean, I guess if you're a mega Beatles fan, you're in ecstasy, and it, you know, treats it with reverence. But at the same time, you know what? The Beatles aren't the greatest band of all time, and there are other good bands, and I would like to play them, please.
Yeah, excuse me, Whitesnake, okay?
Lego Rock Band, and also you can't import the songs out of Beatle Rock Band into other Rock Band games, which is bullshit. But Lego Rock Band, which comes out next month, you can, and it's got, I remember it had something real good. I think it's got like Free Bird or something real good on it, or maybe like China Grove. I don't know. So it has at least two or three songs I've been waiting a long time for.
Good.
So anyway, yeah, unless you just absolutely love the Beatles, thumbs down on Beatles Rock Band. All right, time for the Jank of the Week. This week on the Jank, we talked about Left 4 Dead. I went and got Left 4 Dead again. I bought it twice. I think I now have a running track record of buying all of Valve's games at least two times. I bought Portal three times.
That's like me and StarCraft. I think I bought StarCraft like 10 times.
So, I don't like Left 4 Dead on the PC because I never play PC, and then when I do, I don't know, have any friends online. And it don't got no split screen. So I went and bought it on 360. You can find it some places, like Gamefly had a deal where you could get it for $20. And if you look around, you still might be able to find Left 4 Dead for $20 used. You can get the Game of the Year edition, which comes with like some bonus content. All that bonus content is free, though. So it's really not a big deal to get the Game of the Year edition or not, unless you don't have internet. But yeah, the Game of the Year is $30. If you hadn't bought Left 4 Dead yet, you're dumb and need to get it. It's awesome on Xbox. I love it.
All right, so it's spook time in the USA. Okay, we enjoy our spooks.
Oh, wait, spook time is an international holiday, I believe. Last time I checked.
Now, Nikki loves spook time, okay? And it's actually not the greatest time for me because she gets real stressed out about costumes and things because she wants to make them and never has time. And then, you know. But anyway, we went to this... they have these little, I guess they're called spirit Halloween costume places that crop up all of a sudden everywhere. They're like, they stay for like a month and they sell Halloween stuff. So we went to one of these places and it was it was the scariest thing I've ever seen. Not because of what was in it, but because of what it was. It was like, there were like three Mexican families in there shopping for Halloween costumes. It was dirty. It was dark. Every like... costume for women was just like slut outfit.
Yeah, that's like boys can be vampire and girls have to be slut vampire.
Right. And oh my god.
That's what's awesome about Halloween. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're a girl, you get to be a slut on Halloween. You can be the most conservative Christian. I don't give a shit. Halloween is slut time.
No, I think that like horror and tension is one thing that games do so well. Because
you can feel like, you know, unlike a movie where you know, oh, well, it's not really me. There are, you know, in some cases, severe consequences for dying.
Oh, yeah. Whereas, and not even that. I see Nikki playing Brutal Legend, and that game is not scary at all. But she's terrified when she goes into, like, Spook Spider Cave or whatever. Like, that game is horrifying to her. She, like, she, you know, elevated pulse rate. Like, she jumps and
oh, yeah, like,
know.
Oh, I remember the little, you remember the little spiders, or I like to call them little BBs?
Yeah, little BBs.
Oh, them BBs on me.
But see, that's what we should try to be making. Fear instead of love story. Love story, yeah. Bad. Oh. Fear, good.
Speaking of fear, how about First Encounter Assault Recon? Dumbest name for a game ever. Fear 2, I think, is like maybe $20 or $30 now. Oh, dude. This is part where you're in a... a school? Like you're in a an elementary school and like all the kids, it's like, oh, it's so spooky because there's like no, it's all empty, but you see these flashes of this like little girl everywhere. Oh, dude. And like you, there's like a long hallway, you walk down, the lights are flickering, all the lockers open up and are banging. Ooh, I can't be doing that. That's a game for 3 o'clock in the afternoon and some friends. and another great game, a lot of people forget to mention, Doom 3. It had some damn good spooks in it.
Yeah, but Doom 3 spooks was... That was, like, cheap. That's like,
No, yeah, I agree. It was cheap, but it was still scary as hell.
That's I'm gonna flash something scary in your face spooks. And that, you know, that's like lowbrow spook. Highbrow spook, you know, more psychological spook, I think, is better.
Yeah, right.
Well, to round this out, let's come up with three games that our listeners must play for Halloween. Three games. What are your top three?
All right, one of mine's gotta be Dead Space. That's my first one. What about you?
All right. Clock Tower. That's one.
Clock Tower.
It might seem a little dated, but that game is scary as shit.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here, all right? Now, this is going out on a limb. I'm going to say Alone in the Dark, the original.
Okay.
But also with the side note that Alone in the Dark, the new one, was a good game. It just had all these bugs that were awful. If you can get through the bugs and the shitty mechanics of that game, it's really scary and entertaining.
All right.
Ooh, Parasite Eve. That's another one. All right, continue.
You know, I never played through Parasite Eve.
Oh, it was good.
Never played through them.
It was kind of like Vagrant Story, mm-hmm. where you had like a you would go into a battle and you'd have the bubble around you.
Oh, I like the bubble. Vagrant Story bubble is cool.
Vagrant Story is kind of a scary game too. Now that I think about it, I wouldn't call it a scary game, but it had some strong spook elements.
Okay,
dude, that game was awesome.
My number two would have to be Batman's, because Batman's is fun and it's spooky.
Okay,
because you're in Arkham, and there are all these crazy people everywhere, and that's spooky.
Right, and definitely I gotta just say Grim Fandango. That's you've got to play Grim Fandango. Why have they not re-released that on XBLA? That's such a simple, like, just do the work, make it happen. You don't even have to make it HD because it was already kind of 3D.
Yep.
Dude, why is that game not already out there?
I don't know. Okay,
I mean,
so
if they can sell, because you know Sam and Max, episode 2, you know how they have episode season 1?
Yeah.
They released season 2 on XBLA. Which, if they did that, that must mean that the first one sold decent enough for the second one to sell. So if you can sell adventure games on XBLA, there is no reason Grim Fandango is not there. Write Tim Schafer's name all over it, say from the makers of Brutal Legend, put that all over it, you will sell gangbusters, or at least whatever the equivalent of gangbusters is on XBLA.
All right, so the three games that you must play this holiday season, Clock Tower, Bat Tape, and Grim Fandango.
There we go.
All right, now it's time for feedback.
All right, we got a lot of feedback, because we hadn't done a show in a while, so we're going to blow through these pretty quick. All right, this is from El Spuddy. Dear gods of gaming, since we are on the summer downturn of gaming, oh god, this is a long time
so
ago.
So old.
I've decided to get myself a PS3. Some questions for you. What games would you recommend for the PS3? Dude, I wonder if he bought it before the price dropped.
What are you doing? That's like buying a brand new like McMansion in the housing crisis. Are you retarded? What's wrong with you buying a PS3?
What do you mean? Dude, that was the perfect time to buy a PS3.
Okay, maybe it's now got, now with the price drop, sure. But
it's got the price drop. It's got the library now. It's got, you know, Infernal? whatever, Sucker Punch. What is that game? Infamous. No, it's not Infamous. No. What's the one? Is that Sucker Punch's game?
I don't know.
Whatever the one is on PS3, it's Sucker Punch's game. They got, you know, you got Metal Gear you can go back and play. You got Uncharted 2. Uncharted 1 sucked balls. Anybody who didn't think so is dumb. dude, it was just Tomb Raider. Newsflash, Tomb Raider sucked dick, and that's why they stopped making them. Oh, look, I fell down and had to replay this whole section again. Like, Prince of Persia is the only good incarnation of Tomb Raider. Anyway.
All right. Well, perhaps it was a sound investment. And to be honest, I got Bat Tape on PS Triple, and it looks hella, and it plays awesome. And you're right. You can get, like, I got Final Fantasy VII for, like, $10. I mean, that's, like, a whole month of game right there that you could play.
Yeah.
Classic game.
Yeah, there's so much. What else? You can get Brutal Legend now. And there are a couple of gotta have like exclusives coming up too. So, Killzone 2 was amazing. Have you played Killzone 2, dude?
Oh, no, of course not.
You don't You don't even know. Look, that's your next tape. That's the next one on your Netflix queue. Great to hear the podcast once a week, he says. You're welcome, dude. All right, Kevin G.
He asked me for my PSN ID. If anybody's on either PlayStation Network or Xbox Live, my network name is Reverse Normal, which is same as my AIM name. So if you want to hit me up, that's what I am on those two tapes.
Somehow people find this. My Xbox name is Blake Buck, right? But I hit the max number of friends the other day because all these assholes keep adding me. So, look, no more friends. All right? you're going to have it too. You're going to have all these clowns trying to be your friend.
No, see, that'd be okay. That would be fine with me because you know how many I have? One. You. You're my only friend on...
What is my PlayStation name? Do I have one? I don't even think I had one.
I don't know. Also, never mind. I was going to let people know my PartnerNet ID, but... I'm not going to do that.
Don't do that.
I don't want these clowns talking to me at work.
Kevin G writes us, tell me the username and password for this link, please. So it's bestdamnpodcastever.com/wiki. This is where we do our show notes at, and we put a password on it because the spam bots kept putting, buy dick pills now.
We would do whole shows like that. We just read whatever's on there. So
yeah, we can't help it. We just have to read whatever's on. All right. The password is heat.
Is heat.
The username is heat. And if you can figure out the password, you get to have access.
Right. So heat.
Blank.
Blank. Heat blank blank. What is it?
All right. Take us next email.
All right. David H. writes, hey there, Buck, Fick, and Flippy Flap down below.
Oh, that's you.
That's me. First, I'm up for battle. I have an iPhone, so I can do the Space Invaders battle. What was the Space Invaders battle?
I don't know. Keep in mind, this is like years ago. These emails are from.
All right. However, I don't have a way of recording myself doing it. Well, you're going to have to get creative there. He leaves his number. He says, I'm in high school, but I'll do it anyway, anytime. Good. So if we call you Monday afternoon at 12 o'clock, you got to break out of high school and do our battle. All right. I've been trying to send you guys money. But I've been low on funds. I'm donating $50 in the next few days, so I've covered the pay or paid for my long-ass email. P.S. I'm from Canada. We are people. We are smart. Vote Blake smart.
Dude, all right, first of all, Canada, I don't want your support. You're not people, and you're not smart. Only Blake is smart. Okay, no, I love Canada.
So everybody, just so you know, like, his donation paid for, like, two months of server fees.
Dude, bullshit. I didn't get any emails about donations.
All right, well, if he had donated, that would have paid for 2 months.
Keep in mind, this is a long time ago. Maybe I just didn't see it. But either way, donate again. Donate at bestdamnpodcastever.com. Actually, we may have hosting covered. You know, we're talking to... Well, we've been re... Look, the site's getting in a row. We got some heat cooking. Zap Brannigan. Hey, BDPE, sorry for the email, blah, blah, blah.
I just read "fuck you" in there.
Anyway, I'm not dead, and I guess I work. I'm not dead, and I guess I'm not working for you anymore. Now that Peachy or whoever seems to be doing the album art, we don't even know. No one knows who does these things. Something I want to do for a while is a weekly column for you guys to film trailers that fucking fail Fridays. It's basically just me posting YouTube links with various trailers of upcoming movies and why they all fail. I've already sent two emails to Blake Buck about this, but apparently he eats them. Let me know what you guys think. Look, I love it. Look, okay, let's role play here for a minute. You be all right. Blake Buck. All right.
Ooh, ooh.
Hey, here's a whole bunch of free content you can post on your website. Do you want this?
Om nom 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 nom.
So, yes, I do want it. Look, hit us up with whatever you guys want. All right, take a second email.
All right, Else Buddy writes, Mr. Miller, sir, I got Fat Princess. Yes, I ponied up the 12 pounds. I don't even know. What? Okay, I'm gonna stop being American here so I can read this email. He apparently spent 12 pounds. I don't know what that is. 12 pounds of what? I ponied up 12 pounds for this game without playing the demo. It's a top-down game, Diablo view. Where you choose your class, peon, cut bomb, warrior, just cut, mage, shoot, priest, hunter, shoot. By picking up hats, so I guess you pick up hats to clash your dudes, right. And you got to stop the other team from taking your princess by feeding her cake. Yes, it's team-based. If you play it online, don't have enough players, you get to do it with NPCs to fill in for your other players that don't really act well when you're playing with other people. Okay. So I say the game is good, but the AI lets this game down and really should be played online with other people. All right, so maybe if I get this game, and you're
Fat
not,
Princess is supposed to be good.
Yeah, so I'll check it out. I might get it.
in fact, we got another email about this here in a minute. I'll get to that in a second.
All right, he closes with, guys, I had the sex box bookmarked some time ago. Here's the link with a warning: the site is in Japanese.
What is this?
Sex box.
Oh, there's the second. We talked about that last week.
Yeah, teledildonics. Sex box. See this? I see. Oh wow! Look at these advertisements around it.
All right, the next email is kind of connected with this. Hey, BDPE, laws are on the forum here. Here's an MP3, seeing as Blake can't read words. I'll play the MP3 in just a second, but he says, as an added note, I've been drunk almost every time I play Fat Princess. I see, that is my kind of listener right there. Understands. All right, here's his MP... Oh, wait, no, that's not his MP3. Damn it. All right, here's his MP3.
Okay, two things. One, get Fat Princess. It's the shit. And two, that monster truck game is called MotorStorm, and it's been out for about 5 months now.
So yeah.
Yeah. Get it.
He had to whisper it so the others didn't hear.
So I wouldn't get mad. But I heard it, and I'm furious. Blake is not smart.
All right, take this next email. All
right. So Calix writes, dudes, what the fuck? Blake Buck, you talked about PAX and you mentioned nothing about the ambassador who went there, namely me. I took the time out of my day to network with the guys from Introversion and give you spoilers on the latest games, i.e. Brutal Legend is going to rock your face off and Dante's Inferno is going to suck cock. I will admit, I am at fault for not getting the article up about it before now, but as it happened, I caught the swine flu after going to PAX and I recently started college. Man, everybody's like 20% of our office has swine flu. It's ridiculous.
Oh, really?
Dude, yeah. Yeah, man. I'm going to get like vaccinated as soon as possible. Anyway.
I don't believe it. Look, it's made up. Ain't no such thing as swine flu.
All right. That's fine. You're going to get it. Don't you worry. It'll come to you. All right. So, which leads me to my next bit. William Miller, the gaming god intellectuals, I offer my plea for help. Having recently started college, it feels like I'm being buried in homework, and this is just the first time.
Dude, you're doing college all wrong. All right, if you're a freshman in college and you're not like drunk in a gutter like the entire first 5 years you're there,
you'll turn into you're going to turn into Blake Buck if you're drunk in a gutter in freshman year in college.
Dude, there was a football game last week. Ooh. Like I woke up in my bed. About the last thing I remember was 11 o'clock that night, and apparently I was partying until about 4. I don't remember none of that.
All right, so he goes on to say, I have now a much better understanding of how hard it must have been to take times out of your schedule in order to podcast. How did you manage to survive through everything in classes and still have time to eat chicken, podcast, and bang multiple women every night?
Thank you. Calix understands. Thank you. What the fuck? Finally, we get an email that's, oh, fuck you, dudes. Where's my free show that I've never paid for? Bunch of dick fags you guys are. All you unsubscribe, you fucking assholes. I don't want anyone to listen to this show anymore. Except for Calix. He's the only one that
we do it just for you.
Yeah, he actually went to PAX and he was like, oh, you guys should have some stuff on the site. And I was like, oh, it sounds like a good idea. And then I forgot about it. So my bad. send us whatever. Didn't you type up something? I don't even remember our correspondence. Anyway, Pete B's got an article for us. He's got a link here. Let's see what this is. He also writes Blake Dumb. Oh, yeah, this is just the thing about the Windows 7 Whopper.
Yeah, that's seven meats. This dude eats seven a Whopper with seven meats.
All right, finally. Now, this is my favorite. We got this email, and I just laughed right when I heard it. So, okay, this is from Beetle. Sup, heat men. I was really bored, so I made this. Listen to the whole thing. So, it's like... It's a song he made for us. We'll play it at the end of the show. Also, somebody sent us a present, and I forgot where... I lost the email for our 55... Remember, we were going to have a celebration for the 55th show?
Oh, yeah. This is it. This is it, bitches. Get your entries in. Because we're going to go over them, 56. We're going to say who wins.
Yeah, let's see. Oh, yeah. Here's... Yeah, he sent it here. We'll talk. Somebody already sent us some stuff. We're gonna compile all this stuff and talk about it next show. What is this? I don't even know what this is. I'm gonna save these emails though. We'll talk about. So yeah, if you got any heat, send it our way.
Get another job. Blake Buck. Get high and smoke weed and drink and just be getting fucked up. Blake Buck.
Justin, where's my shoelaces? All right, let us for this week of the best damn podcast ever. What do you think about that, William Miller?
It's a pretty good show. We'll get Justin Fake back next week and, do another one.
The site, apparently our forums are broken. Everything is on fire. We got a team on it, a.k.a.
Yeah, so,
Pseudo Sushi.
Right, so no. Here's what happened. We got moved over to a new server, and it apparently broke all of our forum software. So I think the database is still intact, but Pseudo Sushi is going to go in and fix the installation. So don't bitch at me, bitch at him. I've delegated officially.
Speaking about the site, I've got some new content lined up, and I'm going to start trying to get stuff up every day. I am busy, but I think I can do it. I've sort of gotten, now that I've moved out of this horrible place, I'm not going to talk about it. But I've sort of gotten my shit together now. I'll be posting more often on the website with different kinds of content and stuff. So I think that's about does it. If you got any feedback for us, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com. We would prefer you call the listener line, though, at 845-BATTLE-9. If you want to donate, you can use PayPal, donate@bestdamnpodcastever.com. There are links in the show notes and on the site itself. We got to thank Pseudo Sushi, Peachy, Zap Brannigan, everybody who helps listen, even though we hardly ever put out shows. And I think that about does it. So from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
And we'll see you next time.
Blake Buck.
Justin, where's my shoelace?
Get high and smoke weed and drink and just be getting fucked up.
Ficarada.
Justin, where's my shoelace?
Ficarada.
Blake Buck.
Justin, where's my shoelace? Dude, we're gonna go get fucked up.
Ficarada.
Justin, where's my battle? Shoelace. Ficarada.
Blake Buck.
Blake Buck. Justin, where's the talk at? Justin, where's my shoelace? Ficarada. Justin, where's my shoe battle? Ficarada. So y'all can see my penis. Big Buck has found the Anheuser-Busch hospitality tent.